So much. Turn to Psalm 130 tonight. Psalm 130, I just want to share some quick thoughts with you tonight, and then we're going to let you go home. Psalm 130, and we'll find verse number 1. I have just enjoyed my time in the Psalms these many months, and Psalm 130 is a psalm that will address a different area of our hurt. You notice many times when you read the book of Psalms, the psalmist is crying out to God because of his hurt, his pain, his difficulty, whether it be physical pain, whether it be emotional pain, whether it be his enemies coming against him. But here the psalmist is going to deal with a different kind of pain. It is a spiritual pain. And we're going to talk about that just for a few minutes tonight. I want you to look, if you would, Psalm 130. And notice the Bible said, a song of degrees. This is a series of psalms that was written that the temple worshipers would sing as they made their ascent to the temple mount where they would worship Jehovah, the God of the Bible. And so it's the song of degrees, the songs of ascent, so to speak, as they would sing these different psalms. This is a psalm of forgiveness. Note, a psalm of confession. Notice what the psalmist says, verse 1. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Who can abide? Who can remain? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. I wrote above it a psalm of forgiveness, or a formula for forgiveness, so to speak. And so this psalm is one of 7 penitential psalms. They're psalms of confession. 2 of the most well-known of these kinds of psalms is Psalms 32 and Psalms 51, Psalm 51, which are psalms of confession as it related to David's sin of adultery and murder. I believe that Hezekiah is the author of this psalm, although it doesn't bear his name. Many believe it comes out of Hezekiah's confession to the Lord, his time that he seeks God for healing, as the prophet Isaiah told him that he had a sickness that he would die and not live, and he prayed and God gave him 15 more years to live as a result of his confession to the God of heaven and dealing with his sin. And I want you to notice several thoughts tonight, because here is the reason for the psalm is the guilt of the psalmist. You see, just as pain, what pain is to the body is what guilt is to the soul. And you know what? All of us can relate to the psalmist, because at some time or another, every one of us has experienced the pain of guilt. As a matter of fact, if we go and we were to have a cut an artery in our leg or in our arm or place of our body, if we didn't feel a sense of pain, we would not know that we were injured or wounded, and nothing would be done, and we would bleed to death. We'd die. We'd never get the medical attention we needed. And so pain is a good thing at times. Now, we don't want pain to go on and on and on, but yet pain is a warning signal to the body that something's not right and it needs to be fixed. Now, Christian, listen to me. God has given us spiritual pain. It's called guilt. And what pain is to the body, guilt is to the soul. It is a warning signal that something is not right in your life or my life, and we need something from God. We need healing from the Lord in a spiritual sense. Does that make you follow where I'm coming from? And so he talks about the pain that he's experienced. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee. And so he's experiencing the guilt, and there's times when guilt weighs heavy upon us. It actually can be overwhelming at times. The Bible talks about being swallowed up of overmuch sorrow, talking about sorrow for sin. Now, I want you to notice real quickly just several thoughts I want to give them to you. First of all, there's the condition for forgiveness. Friend, listen, if you want God's forgiveness is the answer to your guilt and to my guilt. Aren't you glad that God has an answer to it for it? Aren't you glad that we don't have to live with the guilt of sin and the pain of sin and the burden of sin and the weight of sin? I don't have to live that way. No, that burden can be lifted even as a believer. Notice, if you would, the very heart of the psalmist in verse 4, where he said, but there is forgiveness with thee. Aren't you glad there's a God of forgiveness? But it begins with confession. Look at verse number 1. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. And so now he's crying out to God because of his sin. He's crying out to confession. In confession, you know what? The first step in dealing with our guilt and the burden of sin is confession to the God of heaven. You see, if I want God's forgiveness, I'm going to have to learn to confess my sin to the Lord. The Bible said if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sin. That means we don't deal with it. We leave it undealt with in our lives. The burden is there. The weight is there. The guilt is there. Shall not prosper. It doesn't mean he may not make money. It doesn't mean that he may not have success as far as the world is concerned. But listen, we're not going to prosper spiritually. We're not going to have peace and contentment and the blessing of God upon our lives because sin is there. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. But I want you to notice it comes from the heart. He said, out of the depths have I cried unto thee. And notice, he's crying out to God from the depth of his heart. He's out of his innermost being. His was not a shallow, listen to this, was not a shallow surface confession. It wasn't one of those things, well, God, I sure am sorry for the mistake I made. No, it was, God, with a broken heart, I've sinned against you. Folks, we pass sin off as mistakes. You know what? You search your Bible and God never calls it a mistake. He calls it sin. And God said that we're to deal with our sin. And we need to quit playing with sin and saying, oh, I made a mistake in my anger. I made a mistake here. No, God's saying, I want you to confess your sin. The Bible said that it's a broken and a contrite heart that God will not despise. And the psalmist didn't make some kind of shallow, I'm sorry, God, confession, flippant, off the cuff. No. He was before God and he was saying, God, out of the depths of my heart, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm crying out to you, Lord, because of my sin. Notice what he says in verse number 2. He said, Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. God, hear me when I'm praying. He said, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark, that means take note of, regard iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? He's saying, God, if you keep our sin, if you mark it, if you keep it before you, God, we don't have any hope. That's what he's saying. Who shall stand? He's saying we don't have a chance, so to speak. But notice what he says in verse number 4. He said, but there's forgiveness with thee. There's forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. Now that word fear doesn't mean to cower in fear from God. It doesn't mean to be afraid of God in that sense. It speaks of a reverential awe of God. Folks, if we recognize, if you and I have a high view of the God of heaven, it will affect how we live our lives and we won't take sin lightly. We will see it as God sees it, as an affront to His holiness. It is hateful to who He is. And friend, listen, God's saying, when I see it like He sees it, I'll not want to practice it. I'll not want to leave it in my life. I will not want to live life under the weight of its guilt. I want to confess it that I might find freedom in Him. Notice the basis of it very quickly, if I could. And aren't you glad that there's forgiveness and it begins with true, honest confession before God. But notice, he's saying, God, I want your eyes to see my sin and your ears to hear my supplication, but God, don't let your hand mark it. Don't let your hand write it down, God. I want to deal with it. And now comes the basis of forgiveness, which is mercy. Look over, if you would, in verse 7. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. How does God forgive our sin? It's all based on mercy. Mercy is an aspect of God's love where God, He's gracious to me and He doesn't give me what I deserve. Listen, as a sinner, I deserve hell for my sin. But God in mercy withholds wrath and in grace gives me the forgiveness that's in Christ Jesus when I trust Him as Savior, and He forgives me of the penalty of all of my sin and heaven is my home. But now mercy in the life of a Christian is where God doesn't mark my sin and He doesn't chasten me. He forgives me. He doesn't mark it and hold it against me in His mercy when I confess it. He forgives that sin and then He blesses me. Because that's what He desires to do. Aren't you glad that God wipes away sin? You ever walk by beside the ocean? And maybe you're walking and as you walk through the sand, if you walk in the sand, it leaves a footprint in that sand. But if you're walking along the edge of the ocean and the tide comes in, you know what it does? It begins to take or erase those footprints away. And you look behind you and in the midst of that tide where your footprints were, they're now gone. It's erased. There's no evidence that you even passed that way. They're all gone. Okay? Now, guess what? That's exactly what God does with our sin as Christians. When we confess our sins to God, the tide waters of His mercy comes along with the blood of Jesus Christ and washes them away. Dear child of God, they are gone. God does not mark them. He does not hold them against us. God deals with them. He forgives them. And they're gone. And guess what? The guilt is gone. That's what He's saying. Now, listen, aren't you glad that God says this, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more at all. Now, here's what it is. How in the world can a God who knows everything all the time forget? Well, He chooses to. But here's what He's saying. It's not that God's saying He can forget because He's omniscient. What He's saying is it's not an issue. I'm not going to remember it. I'm not going to bring it up anymore. It's not an issue between me and you anymore. And the moment we confess our sins, the guilt is gone. But you say, wait a minute, preacher, I have an honest heart, have dealt with my sin, but I still feel the residual guilt of my sin. Okay? That's like pain that when you went to the doctor and he's giving the medicine, but it's still there. That's where we've got a problem. Okay? Because here's what the devil likes to do. He likes to remind you of your past failures so that he can bind you and imprison you in present guilt. And paralyze you so that you lose your effectiveness for God. Let me give you a case in point. Someone says, I want to serve God with my life. I want to serve in a ministry. But here's what they'll say. I don't feel worthy because of what I've done. Can I be honest with everybody? There's none of us worthy to serve God. None of us. And so what Satan wants to do, he wants to wallow you in your guilt. But you know what? That guilt didn't come from God. Because once I've confessed it, His mercies through the blood of Christ has washed it away. It's gone. Just as the tide waters wash my footprints away, the blood of Christ washes away my guilt and my sin. And God said, I'm not going to remember it anymore at all. So what happens is I feel that guilt again. And maybe I'm riding down the road, I'm washing dishes, you're on the job, and suddenly you're reminded of what you did, or what you said, or how you acted, or whatever it was that was in your life. And you feel this guilt as a result of it, and you immediately say, oh God, please forgive me of that. And you know what God's saying? I don't know what you're talking about. Now, I recognize that you don't hear Him say that aloud, but understand where I'm coming. He's saying, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't remember that. I have forgiven that. That's why Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing toward. You see, listen, folks, it's okay when we've confessed our sin out of an honest heart before God to treat our sin the way God treats it and put us behind us and not let our past affect our future. Amen? Amen. And that's what God says we need to do. Amen. Let me move on very quickly. I'm just hitting high spots tonight. The means of forgiveness is redemption. I think it says I need to start winding it down, so let me do that real quick. Notice what he says in verse 7, let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption. Now that word redemption means to pay for something with a price. And God's forgiveness is not cheap. It costed His Son His life. His blood on the cross of Calvary. And listen, can I tell you, every human being has a built-in desire to make up for the wrongs we've made, to pay them back. But can I tell you this? You can't pay it back. It's beyond our ability. Forgiveness comes with a price, but it's a price we can't pay. That's why Jesus came and paid the price for us. And God's forgiveness comes at the price of His Son who died for our sins, who paid for our sins with His own blood on the cross of Calvary, rose again, and not only does He forgive us from the penalty of sin and deal with that, but thank God He keeps on cleansing us after we're saved. Amen? Amen. Now listen, God does not wink at sin. He doesn't overlook it. He sees its exceeding sinfulness because it cost His Son His life. He gave His Son for us. And folks, if we treat sin lightly, it's because we treat forgiveness lightly. We don't realize the cost for God to say, "You're forgiven." It wasn't cheap. It was free. But it wasn't cheap. And we will never understand or fully appreciate what it means to be forgiven until we fully appreciate what it cost God to forgive us. I'm forgiven today because of what Jesus did for me, because in Him is plenteous redemption. Just like the tide waters of the ocean that are in and out day after day, month after month, year after year, century after century, it never runs out. So can I say this? The cleansing power of the blood of Christ never runs out. But may I remind us that it was bitterness that nailed Jesus to the tree. And it was unforgiveness and jealousy and pride and immorality and lying and cursing. And what I need to recognize is this, is that when I come before God with my sin, I need to recognize what it costs God to say to me, "You're forgiven," and it's gone. Because you know what that'll help me do? It'll help me not want to sin. Does that make sense? Christians aren't sinless, but you know what? You ought to want to sin less. Let me give you the last thing and I'm done tonight. I want you to catch this. The result of forgiveness is hope. Notice what he says, verse 7. Let Israel hope in the Lord. Now, in verses 5 and 6, he's waiting for the Lord. Now, this is Hezekiah waiting on God for an answer. Now, here's the thing. You don't have to wait on God for His forgiveness. The moment you confess it, with a broken, contrite heart, He forgives it. Okay? But what he's talking about is the freedom from that guilt, the hope that comes with the confession of my sin and the removal of my guilt. Okay? And he said, "Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, with Him is plenteous redemption, and He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities." Now I want you to get this. Guilt ties you to the past. Forgiveness points you to the future. David said, "My sin is ever before me," before he confessed it. I never forget when I was in Bible college, I for a little while tried to sell vacuum cleaners, and that didn't work very well. I worked for Electrolux. And I really didn't do good at all. But I remember that somehow or another, there was equipment, and through all of that, you know, I owed Electrolux money for working for them. Well, when we parted ways, I still owed them money, and I sort of let that go. Wasn't a lot of money. It wasn't. Probably $100 or less. And I really justified it. I like, you know, I'm working for you, and I turned it all in, but you didn't like how some of it was turned in, so you're charging me for it, and I'm not going to pay it. Do you know that God never let me forget that? That I owed them for that. I remember one day, I was with my granddaddy, we was in the Brushy Mountains, and we was underneath an orchard, and we was picking up some old apples underneath the tree for deer apples. And I remember God saying, "Well, you know what, you can afford deer apples, but you sure can't pay your debt." Boy, God smote my heart. And I'll never forget, I had to sit down, this is a couple years later, I had to sit down, And I wrote them a letter. I told them the whole story in the letter. I put in the mail a check to them and sent it to them. And the moment I did, buddy, you know what happened? Joy came. Because God was reminding me that basically I had stolen from them. And He reminded me. And I dealt with it. Now, you know what? It wasn't like I was walking all along with a vacuum cleaner guilt on my conscience. But there came a time God reminded me of it, and He said, I can't bless you. This is what I'm feeling in my heart. Like, I want to bless you till you deal with what I need you to deal with. And I dealt with it, and oh, the joy that came. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. Let me give you this, and I'm done. The saddest word in the Bible is sin. The word that never comes back is now. These are the greatest words in the Bible. The hardest word we'll ever say is no. The most dangerous word is tomorrow. I'll get saved tomorrow. I'll get it right tomorrow. I'll live for God tomorrow. The weakest word in the Bible is if. The inevitable word in the Bible is death. But the most beautiful word in the Bible is forgiveness. Forgiveness is with thee. Oh, the joy of being forgiven. Maybe as you sit here tonight, the joy bells aren't ringing in your heart like you want them to and desire them to, because there's something undealt with in your life. Maybe it's between you and your mate. Maybe it's between you and somebody else. Maybe it's between you and God. But God's put His finger on something and said, I can't bless you the way I want to bless you until you deal with the sin the way I want you to deal with it. And maybe tonight you need to come before Him and out of the depths of your being, cry unto God. Because with Him is mercy and forgiveness. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. When God marks your sin, confess it to Jesus so He can erase it and it's gone. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed and nobody's looking around.